Thank you for taking the time to listen to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We hope you find it has meaning and relevance for your life. And now may you be blessed as you hear the reading of God's Word.
With our scripture lesson today, we're continuing the story of Jesus last week. David Lesner preached on Palm Sunday. The first day of the week as Jesus entered Jerusalem. And today our scripture leads us to Monday. And we will read this from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 11, starting with verse 12. On the following day, when they came from Bethany, he was hungry. Seeing in the distance a fig tree in leaf, he went to see whether perhaps he could find anything on it. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. He said to it, "May no one ever eat fruit from you again," and his disciples heard it. Then they came to Jerusalem, and he entered the temple, and began to drive out those who were selling and those who were buying in the temple. And he overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves, and he would not allow anyone to carry anything through the temple. He was teaching and saying, "Is it not written, 'My house shall be called a house of prayer for all the nations,' but you have made it a den of robbers?" And when the chief priests and scribes heard it, they kept looking for a way to kill him, for they were afraid of him, because the whole crowd was spellbound by his teaching. And when evening came, Jesus and his disciples went out of the city. This is the good news of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you. I didn't have my mic on, but it was one of those events in which we recognize that we were beginning to learn something about this word passion. And in fact, you know, probably the events that were happening on the screen and with this movie, I mean, it was on every front page, it was on every newscast, it was happening around around every water cooler where people were talking about it. It was probably bigger news in 2004 than it was when Jesus was originally crucified. Sometimes we forget that crucifixion was a regular activity in Rome. It was not unusual, and it was certainly not unusual for someone of lower status like Jesus to be crucified. People would walk by and would pay very little attention to this man who was being crucified on the hill of Golgotha. But I do think that it gave us the opportunity to look at this word passion and to realize what it means. We call it Passion Week, the week from Palm Sunday to Easter Sunday. It's the week of suffering, because the Latin term for passion means suffering. But the English term is a little different. We talk about passion as extreme love, that for which we are passionate. And we think about what it is that's that consuming interest in our life, that dedicated enthusiasm, that concentrated commitment that we have to something that we are so passionate about, we will do anything to make sure that it happens. And we look at Jesus' life as that kind of passionate life, that he was willing to die for what he believed. But what was Jesus so passionate about? You know, we have narrowed the focus so drastically of Holy Week to really mean just those last few days of that week between Palm Sunday and Easter Sunday. Those days of Good Friday and Maundy Thursday, just those days have become important. But every day in the week is something that Jesus used to teach us about what he was passionate about. And I don't know about you, but if Jesus is passionate about it, I think we ought to pay attention to it. We ought to be passionate about it with him, because that is where we begin to find out what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. So throughout Lent, we're going to continue to look at what it is that Jesus is passionate about. And what it was on Palm Sunday, we learned last week. What it is on Monday, we're going to be looking at this week. So let's look at what the Scripture says that happens on Monday. And we're going to be looking at the Gospel of Mark. And by the way, throughout this season of Lent, we'll be continuing to look at these Scriptures. Feel free to bring your Bibles with you. There are Bibles that are available here at the church, and you can look along with us. But we're in the 11th chapter, and you might ask, why are you concentrating on the Gospel of Mark rather than maybe Luke or John or Matthew? Well, first of all, Mark was written before the others. He was the first written, and so we have a little clue into what was important originally in the early church. And then secondly, almost everything that is in the Gospel of Mark is in the Gospel of Luke and also in the Gospel of Matthew. And also most of it's in the Gospel of John as well. But then also, Mark does a better job of delineating between the days of the week, that last week. And so you can look in the 12th verse of the 11th chapter of Mark, and it says, on the following day, when they came from Bethany, because, again, we now know that this is Monday. Sunday has passed, and Jesus went back with his disciples into Bethany. The story is that Jesus had very good friends in Bethany. He had Mary, Martha, and Lazarus there, and he was staying with them, and he would leave Jerusalem primarily because he was afraid he was going to be arrested. And that in Jerusalem, it was a lot more volatile situation, and he could leave Jerusalem to go back into Bethany to find a place of safety overnight. But now, he is on the following day, when he came from Bethany, he was hungry, and seeing in the distance a fig tree in leaf, he went to see whether perhaps he would find anything on it. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. And he said to it, may no one ever eat fruit from you again. Now, don't you think that's a little weird? I mean, this is an odd story. If you get right down to it, Jesus is hungry. He's looking for a snack. And he wants to take care of his hunger. And so he sees a fig tree in the distance. Now, he knows that it's not the season for figs. Jesus is no fool. He knows that figs will come later on in the summer. This is the springtime. And so he goes over to the fig tree, and he finds no figs on it, and he gets mad. Now, I don't know about you. I don't think Jesus is quite that silly. I don't think Jesus is quite that self-consumed. I don't think Jesus is quite the one who's going to say, you know, I'm hungry, and that fig tree doesn't have any figs on it, so I'm going to take it out on the fig tree. I'll curse the fig tree. I'll show that fig tree. It'll never produce figs again. So he says, I'm going to curse you. Never will anybody eat from your fruit again. Now, I don't know about you, but doesn't that make you kind of wonder? I mean, do you think, Mark, even if Jesus was that silly and that mean and that self-absorbed, don't you think Mark would probably say, I don't think I'll put that part in my gospel. I mean, you know, I think I'll divert the attention in a different way. No, Mark's trying to say something's happening here. You know, and Methodists have a great ability to say, you know, this just doesn't seem right. I better perk my ears up to see what's going on. And so the next part of the story goes into a whole different direction. Jesus, all of a sudden, is now in Jerusalem. He is now entering into the temple, and he begins to drive out all those who were selling and all those who were buying in the temple, and he overturned the tables and the money of the money changers and the seats of those who were selling doves, and he would not allow anyone to carry anything through the temple. Now, I don't know about you, but I've always thought of this scripture as I was growing up in the church and hearing the stories and seeing on the walls in the Sunday school classrooms pictures of Jesus overturning the temple, that Jesus was mad. Jesus was mad about what was going on at these people who were doing what they ought not to be doing in the temple. They were exchanging money. They were selling doves. What's that all about? The truth of the matter is Jesus wasn't mad at them at all. They were doing exactly what they were supposed to be doing, and they were doing exactly what Jesus would have used them for every time he went to Passover, every time he spent time in the temple to do what was demanded of them by their faith. You see, pilgrims were coming from all over to the temple for their pilgrimage, and because they were, at the time of Passover, to give the temple tax, which was a portion of their income. I've always thought that the Christian church should have taken the tax idea rather than the tithing idea from the Jews. You know, I wish I could just send you your bill and this is your tax. But they were to pay it in the coinage of Rome. And so they were coming from all over. They had coins from all sorts of different places, different kinds of money. And so they had to have the ability to exchange their money so that they could pay the temple tax. It was just a simple thing that went on every year. And it was not something that Jesus was mad about. It was something that Jesus would have used in his life. The selling of doves. This was a way that you could purchase an appropriate animal to be sacrificed. It was ritually clean. It was something that you might not be able to carry with you on your pilgrimage, and so it was available for you there. This is something that was normal, natural, everyday kinds of occurrences, and not something that Jesus would have been angry about. And so what's going on? It says in the next verse, in verse 17, it says that he was teaching. Wait a minute. He's using this as a teaching opportunity. Jesus is not mad. He hadn't lost it. He didn't lose it when he was talking to the fig tree and continued losing it when he went into the temple. No, Jesus is teaching us something. What is it that Jesus is teaching us? He then quotes something from another biblical verse, and he says, "My house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations, but you have made it a den of robbers." Notice that's in quotes, that it comes from the scriptures. We'll talk about that in a minute. "And when the chief priests and the scribes heard it, they kept looking for a way to kill him, for they were afraid of him because the whole crowd was spellbound by his teaching, just as you are today listening to mine. And when evening came, Jesus and his disciples went out of the city." Now, notice the next story. It's the next day, by the way. Now we're into Tuesday, but it says, "In the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree withered away to its roots. Then Peter remembered and said to him, 'Rabbi, look, the fig tree that you cursed has withered.'" Mark has an interesting way of trying to share the gospel. And he does so throughout his gospel of what he calls framing. He will incorporate one story within another story, and the story on the inside of the other story is illuminated by that outside story. And so he tells a story about a fig tree that engulfs a story about the temple. The fig tree is fruitless. The fig tree cannot provide food any longer. It can't feed anybody. And this is a story about the church, the temple of the day. It's just like the fig tree. It's not feeding anybody any longer. It's useless now. It's fruitless now. It's withering away. Its time has passed by. God had given the people the temple, but now this is the time of the Messiah that is there with them. It's a new day and a new way to look at the way that you worship and that you live out your life. And God is giving us a new opportunity to see the way that God wants us to live our lives. What's happening here is Jesus is a reformer. Jesus is a prophet. Jesus is a teacher. Jesus is not a nutcase. Jesus is somebody that's trying to help us understand what it means to be a part of the faith. And you have to realize that in this day, the chief priests and the temple have been co-opted by Rome. The chief priests were hired, fired, allowed to work at the whim of the governor. The governor in the days of Jesus was Pilate. The chief priest was Caiaphas. Caiaphas was one of the longest-serving chief priests that they'd ever had in Rome at the day, and in the Jewish faith. And the reason was because he was so connected to Pilate. He would do whatever Pilate told him to do. Do you think the church was speaking out about the way that the world needed to be? Do you think that Caiaphas had the ability to say, you know, this is wrong in our lives because the government's doing this or because the world is like that? No, he would have been out on his can in about 3 minutes. If he was lucky, he'd just be out. He'd probably be on a cross somewhere. You see, they were in connection with each other. And then you look at the temple. if we can think of the temple as something that Jesus loved, this is not something that he hated. The Jewish people adored the temple. They had pride in the temple. They had affection for it. They supported it with their money. And there were no complaints about the temple tax. This is one of the greatest things that they had the opportunity to do. There's a story about Caligula. Caligula, when he was the emperor of Rome, Caligula had a great decision. He wanted in the temple an edifice, a statue of himself, Zeus, being personified in his life. And so he decided that this statue would go into the temple. Well, as it traveled from the place where it had been carved and was traveling on wagon, tens of thousands of Jewish men, women, and children would stand in front of it so that it couldn't move to get to the temple because they loved the temple that much. They didn't want this sacrilege to happen within the temple. They were willing to give their lives for the temple. There was a time where Herod had built this great porchway. It's really where Jesus was overturning the temple. It was called the Courtyard of the Gentiles. And it was a place where there were gatherings of all of those who would come from all sorts of walks of life to be a part of the temple life. And when that was built, Herod decided to put over one of the archways a huge golden eagle, which was the emblem of Rome. And the people of the Jewish faith couldn't stand it, and there was a small group of Jewish men who snuck into the temple and destroyed it one night and were killed for their action. They loved the temple. They were not going to allow Rome to co-opt the temple in the way that Rome wanted to do. You see, the temple and the priesthood had been co-opted by Rome, and that's what Jesus is speaking about. This is an ancient problem, something that had gone on in Israel for years. Remember I said that line that Jesus uses is a quote from another scripture? It comes out of the prophet Jeremiah. And if you have your Bible with you, turn to the 7th chapter of Jeremiah. And you'll see there that God tells Jeremiah to stand in front of the gate at the house of the Lord, in front of the temple. And that he is to say to everybody who enters into it, amend your ways and your doings, and let me dwell with you in this place, says Jeremiah for God. And don't believe in the deceptive words, this is the temple of the Lord, this is the temple of the Lord, this is the temple of the Lord. And what Jeremiah is saying for God is that you people are acting like a bunch of heretics, people who live their lives totally out of the example of the faith every day of the week, and you come in here on a Saturday in the Jewish temple, and you expect me to recognize you and love you and forgive you until you start doing what you're supposed to be doing. It says, you are just calling my house like a den of robbers. Sounds familiar, right? That's where Jesus gets it. And he says, will you steal, murder, commit adultery, swear falsely, make offerings to Baal, go after other gods that you have not known, and then come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name, and say that we are safe? I mean, what Jeremiah is saying and what Jesus is saying is that, are you going to come into the temple and sit in the temple and say, okay, I've done my work. I've done my Sunday morning deal. I put my money in the plate. It's all taken care of for the week. I can go out and do whatever I want to do. And Jesus is saying, you can't live your life that way. That's not what it means to be a person of faith. What goes on here is what happens out of our lives of commitment. It is what we're passionate about. It is about who we are as a people and how we're going to change the world by the way that we live out our lives. The things that were going on in the temple were legitimate business of the temple. Jesus wasn't mad at them. He was mad at the people who had decided that this was a safe haven for all of the other things that they had done in their lives. This is a den of robbers. He wasn't saying, you guys who were changing money and you guys who were selling the doves are robbers. He's saying, you have made my house a place of refuge for all of the evils that you do in your life. It is Jesus coming toe-to-toe with the people saying, you better start walking the walk rather than just talking the talk. And if you're not going to live your life the way that I command you, you are not being the person that you need to be. I think that we need to look at the question of what would it be like for Jesus to enter into this temple? What would it be like? What would Jesus do if he came into the church of Stonebridge United Methodist Church and looked around? Would he start overturning tables? I guarantee you he'd start teaching. And we could learn because, you see, Jesus was always about trying to help us understand how to live out the faith. We are the hands and the feet of the Lord. Don't you think that there was a moment that Jesus looked around him at the Last Supper and he said, oh my goodness, I'm about to die and these are the ones that I'm going to leave my kingdom's work in? These are the hands, these are the feet, these are the hearts that I'm leaving this work in? Don't you think that Jesus looks down upon every sanctuary every Sunday and goes, oh my Lord, how is it still going? God, are you going to let it keep going this way? God, when are the people going to do what the people said they're going to do on Sunday morning? When are they going to live the life that they're told to live every day of their lives? How are they going to be my hands and feet in the world? You know, I think that we look at this new capital campaign, and we are saying that without reducing the debt, we can't be the people that God has called us to be. We can't do what we're supposed to do as a church. Do you realize that our operating campaign gives no money to our mission work? We have to make our money outside our operating campaign to make the work available for missions that we have. That's got to stop. We have got to all commit to making the kinds of things that Jesus said need to be happening, making sure that we take care of the widow, making sure that we help those who are suffering, making sure that our lives are committed to every other life in the world. And until we start doing that, Jesus would come into this church and start overturning table after table after table. We say in that old song, I am the church, you are the church, we are the church together. All who follow Jesus all around the world, yes, we're the church together. Well, let me tell you, my friends, it's time for us to follow the Lord. It's time for us to recommit ourselves to the life of Christ through this church and to do as Christ calls us to do and to be the people that God can take confidence in, looking down upon us and saying, thank God they're there so that they can continue the work that I have started in the world around us.
Thank you for listening to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We invite you to join us for our celebration services, an uplifting mix of contemporary and traditional worship styles as we open our hearts to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. Sunday mornings at 8:15, 9:30, or 10:45. For more information, visit our website, mysumc.org. Have a blessed day.